The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. If you listened to the previous hour, we had some phone problems, and we may take more calls this hour. All I can tell you is if you enjoyed the phone calls, you should see the emails I'm getting. I will tell you, there's some days I do this radio thing, and I'm like, anybody can tune in and listen at any given time. And in this day and age, you can share your thoughts. You can even have a social media account and have followers and, I don't know, make comments about things that may or may not have anything to do with the truth. And don't even get me going on, like, Facebook and how they deem what's appropriate, what's not. Do you know within the last couple weeks, Facebook shut down a page that had nearly 80 million users, by which the guy that formed the page had the audacity to ask his 80 million followers to come together in a daily prayer for the safety of the people of Israel. Page was called, wait for it, Jerusalem Prayer Group. Facebook? Shut it down. Evans described it as a coordinated act of cyber terrorism. Page was overwhelmed with thousands of anti-Semitic comments. Some people even featured Nazi pictures and propaganda. Put it on the page, and then Facebook shut it down, said the page was hosting hate speech. When Evans, the man responsible for the page, raised objections with Facebook, he was informed, quote, there's no further action to be taken, end quote. And then another quote, please consider this decision final. Facebook charged Evans of, quote, inauthentic behavior. And representatives for the tech company told reporters that Evans's page had, quote, violated our rules against spam and inauthentic behavior. One response said, in today's day and age, being conservative and being pro-Israel are one and the same. And if you defend Israel, your page is violating the terms of service. But anyone who wants to spew anti-Israel sentiment is welcome to do so. The world of Facebook. Yeah, there's another story on Facebook here. Y'all remember back last year, and some of you even listened to this program, I had shared my thoughts about what we were dealing with, and then a few months in, I had Dr. Vladimir Zelenko on, a man who treated hundreds of people successfully that were positive for COVID. Some very seriously ill, treated him with, hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin and zinc sulfate successfully. You know, the white coat doctors in D.C., they did their forum and that was shut down. And Twitter pulled Vladimir's account. And, you know, that whole push to shut down any information that may not be the truth. You know, they've got their fact checkers and the whole thing. Have you been following what's going on with the virus and where it may have started and how it started? You following the latest on that one? Many have been concerned that this was indeed man-made in a lab in Wuhan, China. I read Victor Davis Hanson's commentary last hour where 2020 was this year of mass hysteria. Remember, we even got to a point where you can't call it a China virus because Orange Man bad, and we can't do that. And Nancy Pelosi walking all over Chinatown saying, no mask, we love these people. I mean, it is kind of hysterical. But as it applies directly to this topic, Facebook announced yesterday that any posts that make reference to COVID being man-made will no longer be banned on the platform, right? So all these months of anybody alluding to, hey, what's up here? Banned, not accurate information. Even the Biden administration shut down an investigation. They're like, no, we're not going there. And you can only come to your own conclusions as to what their motivation may have been. But you have to love Facebook. A spokesperson in a statement, quote, in light of ongoing investigations into the origin of COVID-19 and in consultation with public health experts, we will no longer remove the claim that COVID-19 is man-made from our apps. Spokesperson went on to say, we are continuing to work with health experts to keep pace with the evolving nature of the pandemic and regularly update our policies as new facts and trends emerge. Ugh. Boy, that sounds impressive, doesn't it? They're really there for us. They're there to share the truth. You remember back here last year, February, Facebook made this big to-do. They're going to take down any post that contains what they called false information about COVID-19. And they did it. Censor, delete, block. Any reference to being man-made. Don't even get me going on the vaccines. Quote-unquote, vaccines might be dangerous. Oh, stop that conversation right there. And then part of what triggered this is Lord Anthony Fauci. Have you caught a little of it is Victor Davis Hanson called it right. We've kind of just witnessed mass hysteria. Have you seen Fauci lately being Senator John Kennedy had him on the hot seat. I think it was yesterday, the day before. This guy has done more flip-flops than an acrobat in a circus. And now he says he's not convinced that COVID developed naturally, calling for a deeper investigation. You can't write this stuff. And yet Facebook, social media, we're so dependent on such things. Censorship is alive and well. I think of Josh Hawley in his new book. I'm trying to get Josh on. His concern about big tech monopolization, the tyranny of technology, I think it's called. Simon & Schuster was going to publish his book, and oh boy, the big pushback. He's conservative. He's white. He's a hate monger. Oh, we no longer will publish his book. Did you happen to catch the story about the God Bless the USA Bible? Did you see this one? Zondervan is another publishing company. Now, they're on record as saying they're not going to publish the God Bless the USA Bible because they got some complaints that it somehow promotes Christian nationalism. And according to this article on ChristianHeadlines.com, it skewed the lines between the secular and the sacred. Listen to this one. Special edition Bible is inspired by Lee Greenwood's song, God Bless the USA. It includes not only the text of Scripture, so the Bible, but also in the special edition Bible, you get copies of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance, and the text of Greenwood's song, God Bless the USA. Just think about that for a moment. Some of the very most essential, historical, important written documents, founding of our country, put the Bible in there too, sprinkle in a little lyric from a very popular song by Lee Greenwood, and the critics come out of the woodwork saying, this is toxic. And there's a petition that, according to this article, you ready? How many people do you think signed on to this petition by which Zondervan went belly up? If I didn't know the story and I was listening on the radio, I'd think, oh, I don't know, 100,000. That would be kind of a conservative guess. According to this news story, Zondervan received 900 signatures of complaint about, again, the new God Bless the USA Bible. So their statement, those that signed on, quote, Zondervan is not publishing, manufacturing, or selling the God Bless the USA Bible. They say that it is a, this is the petition, it's a toxic mix that will exacerbate the challenges to American evangelicalism, adding fuel to anti-Muslim sentiments found in many segments of the evangelical church. Huh? What? 900 people. So Zondervan's statements, well, quote, why we were asked for a manufacturing quote, ultimately the project was not fit for either party and the website and marketing of the NIV project were premature. Cancel. And then the topper, the president of Elite Source Pro, I think he's one of the people responsible for trying to put this Bible together, if you will, a guy named Hugh Kirkpatrick. He said he and a few friends got the idea for the Bible last year when America's history was being attacked. Here's Kirkpatrick's quote. In past civilizations, libraries have been burned. Documents torn down. We started seeing statues coming down. We started seeing history for good or bad trying to be erased. That's when we started thinking, okay, how far does this erasing of history go? Love it or hate it, it's history. But how far does it go? Part of having these statues is so that we don't repeat those same mistakes. He went on to say, if the Bible contained Holy Scripture, but it also contained these documents, it would be a one-stop shop for people to learn the basics of why the founders built into those documents divine providence, end quote. Again, this is a guy named Hugh Kirkpatrick. He had the idea of putting this Bible together. Several authors published by Zondervan urged them to not print the Bible. I don't recognize one of the authors here, probably more about my ignorance than maybe their popularity. Shane Claiborne, Doug Padgett, Lisa Sharon Harper, Jamar Tisby, Soong Chan Ra urged the company not to print the unique Bible. They wrote, quote, American nationalism is its own civil religion, where America rather than Jesus is the center of attention. Says, after all, the Bible does not say God bless America. The national anthem should not be in the church hymnal, and the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States should not be in the Bible. Okay. You know, I remember a time, I had to be 7 or 8 years old, early 60s, living in Cleveland, Ohio. It was a Sunday afternoon. Where I lived, a street called 144th Street, you can walk down Coit Avenue to St. Clair, which is where the shopping was, the businesses. There was a little corner It's kind of a drugstore. You can go in there and get a sundae. Oh, just like you see in like the old movies. And Sundays, businesses were closed because you go to church on Sunday. And I remember thinking back then, walking with my next door neighbor down to get, I don't know, maybe we were trying to go get a Coke or something, or walk to Coit Park and go play. Remember, we were talking about God. And even though we struggle, we went to a Catholic elementary school, St. Joseph's, and we had nuns, N-U-N-S, that, let's just say, they established discipline in the classroom, right? Back then, corporal punishment was legal. They would spank us right in front of the class and all that stuff. But I remember thinking, at the age of like 7 or 8, I don't know where this thought came. I thought, what would the world be like without God? And my first thought's kind of, I guess, really naive. I used to think, well, if we had no God, the soda shop would be open on Sunday. But I started thinking about other things, about how we need to live in a world where we acknowledge God and live for God. And yet, my friends, my humble view is, here we are a number of decades later, I'm not 8 anymore, and I'm looking at a world that literally is turning its back on God. Almost to the point where we're seeing evil not even hide itself anymore. Now, stay with me for a moment. You may listen to the show as, oh, I don't know, a casual listener, you're not a Christian. I mean, get an email once in a while from some of the smarmy listeners that say they listen for entertainment purposes. Like, this is just a big yuck fest here. Like, I'm just such a Looney Tune because I'm a Jesus freak. We live in a world where there are some people that don't even believe evil is real. It's just, you know, we have to live for ourselves and we're almost like gods ourselves. We're myself, I'm the most important person in the world, and I got to be the best that I can be, and I have to get involved in causes, and it's all about me, me, me. And in the meantime, you see the realities like chronic and persistent hunger in developing nations. It does cause somebody with a modicum of interest in spending time, is God real? Kind of makes you wonder, you know, God, where are you in all of this? How can you allow suffering? How can you allow evil? These are good, very deep theological questions. But to just turn your back flat on God and say, nope, doesn't make any sense to me. I can't follow a God like that. And then we kind of fill in our own Bible, if you will. Well, my God's a God of love, and we're all God's children, and I don't believe in something like hell. How can I follow a God that made a place, an awful place that I've heard, like hell? We are beginning to see a world that is unrestrained right now, where God's just saying, here you go, I'll take my hand off. Have at it. We're even living at a time in our country, and I want to be careful here because this isn't an all or nothing, but we're seeing a push to, in the area of like law enforcement, defund law enforcement, or in some case, abolish law enforcement, which, by the way, is a tenet of BLM, Black Lives Matter. Yeah, this is a real wise idea, or even good people volunteering to help protect communities. They're thinking twice now. Why would I become a law enforcement officer with everything that's going on? That we don't even stand for law enforcement right now, or true justice. It's selective. We started the program talking a little bit about January the 6th. Victor Davis Hanson wrote a commentary, made reference to, we hear this, and the current administration is emphatic about this. Armed insurrection. Worst attack on U.S. soil since the Civil War, where 500,000 people died. One person was shot to death on January the 6th. Ashley Babbitt was a Trump supporter. I just want to scream and hey, 9/11 happened. I have a guy in San Diego, an incredible hero. He's 99. He was at Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor happened. But no, January 6th, greatest insurrection, blah, blah, blah. And some people just buy it hook, line, and sinker. I will never, ever for a moment try to profess I understand God. I don't have that ability or those faculties. But I can, in my own fallibility, just ponder for a moment, God must get pretty fed up with us from time to time. I think of the past one word, Noah. But we still have such an opportunity right now to right these wrongs and to live as God made us. God wrote his law on our hearts, all of us, whether you willfully are disobedient to that and living for yourself and in rebellion against him, or you know who you are as a follower of Christ, say, for instance. But the battle is here. Good is being called evil. Evil is being called good. And there are people right now that are caught in the chasm of not having any understanding because they don't know who they are in Christ. And there we are. We're supposed to, as Jesus commanded on the way out, the greatest teaching, make disciples of all the nations. When Jesus left the earth, before he comes back, he said, make disciples of all the nations. We're to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people and with people that don't know him. But I have to tell you, my friends, as I have to break here, I've met a lot of people that say they're Christians, and I don't think they know who Jesus is. We may have all the words, and we can quote a little scripture. I see it in men. That's why I have a men's ministry. If men got right with God and knew who they were and the plan and purpose he has for their life and who Jesus is, you would see society change in a blink of an eye, where men start taking back ground. I think it's the biggest crisis going in the country, men not being men. I have a men's ministry. I get attacked because we're just all about men. But all I can say is, Jesus is Lord, like I began the program. He's not missing a thing. There will be a day where he will come back and right all wrongs. No one is getting away with anything. People that are acting in evil ways right now, I mean, look at our inner cities. Crime rates skyrocketing. Gee, do you think there's any correlation between not prioritizing police or defunding police and crime rates going up? Or a whole array of other things? But he's not missing anything. There's no time like now to put your faith and trust in him and surrender to him and say, I'm not sure what I'm doing, who I am, but Jesus, if you're real, if you really are the Savior of the world and you really did die on a cross, and I have my doubts with arms crossed, I pray, or I think, I'll give positive thoughts. We don't want to go to prayer, right? Prayer. We just send positive thoughts. That God would reveal himself in your life. We as Christians, us Jesus freaks, we really believe that if you're sincere, God will reveal himself to you. And then it gets really interesting. Then what do? In a metaphoric sense, God appears to you, and you have this moment, and then the moment passes, and you go, I don't think that was really God. the sun was really bright in my face. Let's try that again. I call it the my will versus thy will syndrome. 888-528-2557. We will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next.
Same thing. Social emotional health. If you truly mean that, you would end the mask requirement tonight. Tonight. This is not March 2020 anymore. We have three vaccines. Every adult in the state of Georgia that wants that vaccine is eligible to get it right now. And every one of us knows that young children are not affected by this virus. They're not. And that's a blessing. But as the adults, what have we done with that blessing? We've shoved it to the side and we've said, we don't care. You're still going to wear a mask on your face every day, 5 and 6 year olds. You still can't play together on the playground like normal children, 7 and 8 year olds. We don't care. We're still going to force you to carry a burden that was never yours to carry. Shame on us. My 6 year old looks at me every month before I come here and she says, are you going to tell them tonight? Tell them I don't want to wear this anymore. And I say, baby, it's not time to fight that battle yet. I try to explain that there's so many things. But it's April 15th, 2021, and it's time. Take these masks off of my child.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. A Georgia mom upset, now more than 1 month later, about the wearing of masks in our children. If you listen to this program for any length of time in the course of a week, you'll know I will talk about the vaccines and mask wearing and my positions. There's this story. Approximately 50% of Americans that are adults now have been fully vaccinated. Major milestone in our country's vaccination efforts. You may or may not know that U.S. regulators granted emergency use authorization to Moderna and Pfizer, those shots. They are not FDA approved. Then there's the single shot Johnson & Johnson. Story after story, big success, close to reaching herd immunity. But here's the area in the Georgia mom kind of speaks to it. Those of us that aren't quick to go, yeah, we'll just do what we're told. In this article that I'm reading off the Epic Times, many experts have bemoaned people who refuse to get a vaccine, trying to devise methods to convince them to change their minds, right? Lottery schemes, other incentives. We played this guy yesterday, just some anonymous guy on the internet who was talking about, well, hey, wait a minute here. Why is everything when it comes to taking the shot, why are they falling all over themselves to get us to take it for free?
The coronavirus is killing people, right? And the vaccine is supposed to help cure that, keep that from happening. Yet the vaccine is free. You're getting donuts, you're getting weed, you're getting money, you're getting burgers, you're getting fries. Now in Las Vegas, you can get a free lap dance, a bottle, and a membership to a strip club. And again, the virus is deadly and the cure is free. Look at all of these other deadly ailments we have. And so many people die because what? They can't afford to pay for health care or they can't afford to pay for treatment. They don't get nothing for free. So why is everything so free right now for this vaccine? That's my question. What's your answer?
It's a good question, somewhat rhetorical in nature, but one I think worth spending time with. But again, as far as the shots go, I don't call them vaccines. Experts, the public health experts, Dr. William Schaffner, professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, says the 50% milestone, half of adult Americans have taken the shot. Dr. Schaffner calls it, quote, a stupendous achievement. But then he said, where's the other 50%? How come those other adults haven't come forward and rolled up their sleeves and been vaccinated? He said in an interview on MSNBC. Oh, that should give you a little clue right there. Yeah, what about the other people? What's their story? Not any possibility that maybe in that other 50%, scores of them have had the virus. They have antibodies in their system now. Right? This push, like the anonymous dude talking about, you know, everything's free now. Hey, you gave him a bottle and a lap dance in Vegas. But this doctor who was on MSNBC said the challenge now is finding ways, quote, to be even more persuasive, to reach the unvaccinated, end quote. Yeah. Right. One point of contention, whether people have gotten sick and recovered still need a vaccine. I just made reference to that. One of the figures, high-profile politician, Rand Paul. He says because they now have natural immunity. By the way, that's not just kind of hearsay or just some speculation. It's kind of a medical fact. This story in the Epoch Times goes on to say others are choosing not to get vaccinated because they're in a population that is at little risk of getting severely ill or dying from COVID. Right? If you just look at the breakdowns, obviously we know, may not know a whole lot 15 months later, but at least we know this virus attacks the elderly and those with comorbidities primarily. That's the truth of things. So younger people are like, why would I get vaccinated? And then the push, right? College campuses can't come back unless you're vaccinated. Let me read a little more, then I'll save the zinger for the end. In terms of not taking the shot, severe allergic reactions, blood clots, heart inflammation are among the serious adverse side effects experienced in people who have gotten one of the shots. Federal authorities are investigating reports of post-vaccination health inflammation, determine instances wide and varied, thrombosis, conjunction with low platelet levels. And here's one of the two zingers. You know, I am all about personal choice. I'm not necessarily against taking the shot. If that's what you want to do, God bless you. But you want to talk about an area of accusation that I hear all the time, right? That somehow I was a Trump apologist and boy, I'm Christian and I supported this guy and boy, what's your deal? The truth is the vaccines, if you want to call them then, were basically developed under Trump's plan, poured funds into development. He's primarily the reason why we have all of the access to the shots. Even though the current administration, you know, Joe Biden, somehow he took over and he's done it all. But again, me being personal choice, I'm not in the school of thought as of now to give the previous president all the kudos because I honestly have some concerns about this. But here's the final straw. Next front's going to be to push to vaccinate more children. Yeah, there's the answer. Vaccinate our kids. Regulators, if you don't know, 2 weeks ago Monday, put the stamp of approval, expanded the emergency use authorization for Pfizer, now letting kids 12 to 15 get the shot. There's a really good move because we know our children are at risk. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, head of the CDC, listened to this rhetoric. quote, though most children with COVID-19 have mild or no symptoms, some children can get severely ill and require hospitalization. There have also been rare, tragic cases of children dying from COVID and its effects. Yeah, okay. I'd love to see the legitimate numbers on that. By the way, 93,000 children between 12 and 15 have taken the shot so far. Pfizer's already given the green light for youth as young as 16. I don't know what, honestly, this isn't the Black Plague. This isn't the swine flu. And if you go back and read any of the original projections and prognostications about the swine flu, the world was going to end. Or SARS. Or go to the Spanish epidemic of 1918, which was a very serious pandemic. This one, I'm not minimizing the loss of life, but when you see things like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or other therapeutics, early intervention, shut down early on, silenced, censored, deleted. Well, guess why that was? Time has a way of clarifying truth. Gee, they could rush the quote-unquote vaccines to the forefront. I'll let you sit with that. Come to your own truth and conclusions. 888-528-2557. When we continue our last segment, the Biden administration is slamming a new bill in Texas, the heartbeat pill. They call it an assault on fundamental rights of women. And I call it once again, God forgive us. We kill babies in the name of what we know is right. We'll talk about that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. I want to jump right into this final story. It was printed a few days ago, but goes back a number of weeks. The at least consistent position of the Biden White House. They are now slamming Texas's recently passed heartbeat bill. They call it an assault on women's fundamental rights. At the White House press briefing recently, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about the bill signed into law by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. It is slated to go into effect on September 1. It bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected, usually around 6 weeks of gestation. Psaki responded, quote, this is the most restrictive measure yet in the nation and the most restrictive recent assault on women's fundamental rights under Roe v. Wade. She lamented that critical rights continue to come under withering and extreme attack around the country, end quote. According to Psaki, President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris are, quote, devoted to ensuring that every American has access to health care. Psaki went on to say, now more than ever, he continues, that would be Joe Biden, to support the robust agenda he put forward during the campaign to protect women's fundamental rights, including by codifying Roe v. Wade. Obviously, there are some actions that will be through legal processes and through the courts, end quote. I have a question, just before I share any more. So the Biden administration, they're so pro-women's rights. According to Psaki, the women's fundamental rights. Can somebody explain to me the whole transgender thing then, allowing biological men to compete against women? Please help me with that one. Even feminist groups that I may ideologically not be in agreement with, they're up in arms over the whole transgender issue. But that's another story for another time. I'm just looking for consistency in the messaging. Protect women's fundamental rights. Guttmacher Institute, the pro-abortion outlet, They warned that, quote, 2021 is on track to become the most devastating anti-abortion state legislative session in decades. End quote. Now, so you understand their position, that to stand for something like what I'm about to share with you, this is an assault on women's fundamental rights. You know what's happening in the city of Lubbock, Texas? Got 200,000 people reside there. They are now the largest city in the United States to declare themselves a sanctuary city for the unborn. They have outlawed abortion within the city limits, except in cases when a woman's life is at risk. This is the city of Lubbock, Texas. So those that are in the mindset of the Biden White House and everybody else about protecting women's fundamental rights, what would they think about a city like Lubbock, Texas, that say, no, not in our city? Honestly, my greatest issue is with this idea that, well, this is about an attack on women's health care. Nonsense. We have more health care clinics across the country than we have Planned Parenthood clinics. That how much money do they take in taxpayer dollars to kill babies? And yet, because they have such a monopoly on things, you would be convinced Planned Parenthood is the only place that women can go for their reproductive rights and freedom. Nonsense. It's a lie. And I'm just here to stand for truth. We don't have to agree on everything, but at least let's talk about what is true and what is a lie. And what is being purported as being truth, that is a lie. And what is a lie that is being purported as truth. That's where we can start the conversation. And I hope and pray we can respectfully go from there and have honest conversations about such things. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow on the program. You are in the interim. Welcome to email me with anything that you are compelled to share confidentially at franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.